We're thankful for your presence this morning. I want to direct your attention to Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. We read, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. We're going to focus this morning on that phrase, concerning the faith in Christ. He goes on to say, in verse 25, now as he, Paul, reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Concerning the faith in Christ, we realize that this involves reasoning about righteousness and about self-control and about judgment to come. Here was Felix, the governor of Judea, the Roman governor of Judea, and he was one who was in a position of judging between what is right and what is wrong in accordance with Roman law. He is one who's very aware of the fact that in a position of authority that he has to exercise some self-control, and those who are under Roman law are to exercise the same self-control. And if one failed to do so, that they're going to face judgment. The whole reason Paul is before Felix is because charges have been made against Paul that he has broken some Roman laws. Trials have been held before this. No laws have been seen to have been committed or broken by Paul, but for political reasons, really, Paul was held in custody to appease the anger of the Jews, specifically in Jerusalem. I would have liked to have heard that sermon. Paul is talking to Felix about things that, in regards to righteousness or what is right and self-control and judgment, pretty much the buck stops right there with Felix as far as Judea goes in regards to the civil aspect of that. But Paul makes him aware of the fact that spiritually he has one to answer to. Felix has someone to answer to. I want you to consider that the faith in Christ Jesus does indeed involve us reasoning about righteousness. Good question. What is righteousness? Who's determined? Who's to say what's right and what's wrong? Well, the Scripture has a lot to say about that. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 14 says, the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Our disobedience doesn't change the righteousness of God. Our failure to recognize the standard of righteousness that is displayed by God doesn't diminish the fact that God's standard of righteousness is the standard that we are to recognize and revere. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus simply said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the righteousness of God. Luke 1 and verses 5 through 6 says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, his wife, was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. What does it mean to be righteous? There's a good definition of it. Not only a definition, but an example. Two examples, by the way. Sometimes you hear people say, well, no one can live a righteous life by the standard of God's righteousness as revealed in the Word of God. That's not true. Here's two examples. A man and a woman. So that eliminates the gender issue. Whether you're a man or a woman, you can walk in all the commandments of the ordinances of God blameless and be found righteous before God. God has set that standard of righteousness for us. Romans 1 and verses 16 through 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. God is, as we've seen, is that standard of righteousness. He is the author and the finisher of faith. That faith comes by hearing the Word of God. When we revere God and keep His commandments, do what His Word tells us to do, we walk by faith, and we are righteous before God. But this righteousness is revealed in the good news of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. Very similar to that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, breathed of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for telling us and showing us where we're wrong, for correction, for showing us how to make correction in our life, and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is the standard of righteousness. That standard is revealed in His Word, all Scripture. And if we want to be like Zacharias and Elizabeth, we need to live as they lived, in keeping the law of God, practicing the righteousness of God revealed in His Word. Romans 10 in the first three verses says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now, if that was true of Israel in the day that Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome, why isn't the same principle true today? Well, in fact, it is. That there are many people who profess a zeal for God, and we might even, like Paul, acknowledge their zeal, but that their zeal is not in accordance with the revelation of God's Word. It's not according to knowledge because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. So what are they so zealous about? Well, they're zealous about what feels right and what seems right to them. I'm disciplining myself here, but I want to share something with you because I've got another thought on another sermon I might do tonight. But, you know, remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? And finally, they get to the point to where she says, I can see you're a prophet. Tell me, where is the right place to worship? In this mountain or in Jerusalem, where the Jews say to worship? Jesus got to the point and basically said, we know what we worship. You don't know what you worship. And you'll remember that Jesus would say, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must have a knowledge of the truth. How did the Jews know how to worship God? Well, I'll get into that in the lesson. But there's so many Old Testament passages that talk about the fact that God revealed his will to them. It was written down. They knew what God wanted because God had it written. We know what God wants because God has written it down. It's in the gospel. It's in the New Testament. It's in the doctrine of Christ. But if we have not submitted to the standard of righteousness revealed in God's written word in accordance to the doctrine of Christ, we haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. If we're just doing what feels right and what seems right to us, and those feelings can change, can't they? Well, I used to feel this way, but I don't feel that way anymore. Well, how can you be so sure about how you feel now then? If you're just basing it upon how you feel, how do you know that what you're doing now is right? See, I know that we're worshiping right because I can turn to the Word of God and I can show us what He says to do. And we're doing that. So a zeal for God is not righteousness. A zeal without a knowledge of His righteousness is not going to affirm us before Him. It will condemn us. In Philippians 3 and verses 8 and 9 it says, yet indeed I also count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And here in this letter, he is comparing the faith that comes by hearing the Mosaic law and the faith that comes by hearing the faith that is in Christ Jesus, the Word of God in Christ Jesus. I do not have my own righteousness based upon what I want to set up as my law, whether it be the Mosaic law or, why couldn't we throw in some of the world religions and their books? Anything other than the revealed righteousness of God in Scripture is not true righteousness. So whether it be the Quran or the writings of Buddhism or any other religions, just because I'm zealous about it and believe it, that doesn't put me right with the one true God who has revealed His will to us from His Word in the Gospel of Christ. You know, how can we read these passages like we noticed in Romans 1 and other such passages as we have here before us and say, well, that's okay that God's revealed His righteousness there, but I choose not to practice that standard of righteousness. I want to practice the standard of righteousness revealed in the Quran or revealed in Greek mythology or you know, just whatever I choose. You're free to do that, but you also answer for it. There is a standard of righteousness that we need to recognize, and that standard is in the Scriptures. So we notice from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It's in the gospel of Christ. So we notice in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. We need to recognize that that is the standard. And then, as Paul reasoned with Felix, we have to practice self-control to conform to that standard. Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 25, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no limit. You know, we have speed limits on our roads and so forth. Well, there is no limit to how much love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no limit to that as we walk in the Spirit, as we live by what the Spirit teaches us from His Word. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, as you read that verse 25, as we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, you might say, well, isn't living in the Spirit walking in the Spirit, and isn't walking in the Spirit living in the Spirit? Yes, it is. But that's not the context that he's using here. He's talking about those who profess to be living in the Spirit. Might have a zeal for God, but not according, they're not walking with God. They're not walking in accordance to, they're not practicing self-control in practicing what God has revealed in His Word. Let me ask you, is that you? Do you profess to be living with God? You profess to be a Christian? You profess to have a hope of everlasting life in the presence of God forever and ever and ever? And you're not walking in the Spirit? You're not doing what the Spirit teaches us to do from the Word of God? The Word of God doesn't just teach us what to do and what to have, but what we are to do with what we have. Notice, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when those passions and desires rise up in us that are contrary to what the Spirit teaches us, we're faced with a choice, aren't we? What do you love? What are you going to do? What choice are you going to make? Second Peter 1 and verses 5 through 9 says, for this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, excellence. And a virtue knowledge. How do you attain excellence? Well, you have to know what is excellent. And a knowledge, self-control. So now that you know what God wants you to do, you have to practice self-control and do what God tells you to do. And a self-control, perseverance, you need to keep doing what God wants you to do. And a perseverance, godliness, and something changes in you. You're not of the carnal nature, you're of the divine nature. The godliness, brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound. How often do I have to practice self-control? Every time you are faced with a choice of doing the will of God or following your passions and desires. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Let me ask you that. Can you prove that in your life too? Have you proved that to yourself? That when you haven't practiced self-control to do the will of God rather than your own carnal passion and desire, would you acknowledge that I've kind of lost sight of the fact that my sins were washed in the blood of Christ, and that took the sacrifice of the Word of God made flesh on my behalf? I've taken the sacrifice of Christ for granted. Would you acknowledge that to be true? If you're walking in your passions and desires? That's what happens when we squelch the standard of righteousness that Paul was reasoning with Felix about. We squelch the standard of righteousness and fail to practice self-control to do that standard, and then we follow our carnal passions and desires. In Romans 6 and verses 12 and 13, it says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Sounds to me like we've got some control over this. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You want a good definition of walking in the Spirit? There you go. It's not just a profession of living in the Spirit. It's a demonstration of walking in the Spirit. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. "You, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, endurance, gentleness." You've got something to work on. You've got a choice to make. You've got something to work on as a child of God. It's not just saying, "I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's my Savior." You have to pursue righteousness, that standard of what's right, and strive to become like God in the practice of the faith. Because there is a judgment coming. Well, what if I've got a different standard of righteousness than what God's revealed? There's a judgment coming. What if I affirm that God's standard of righteousness is the standard of righteousness, but I pursue my passions and desires? There's a judgment coming. Romans 2 and verses 2 through 5, it says, "We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things." Do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? You know the standard of righteousness. You know the choice that you have to make. You know you need to practice self-control, but just let it slip this time. Follow the passions and desires. Do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Do you despise the riches and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? "Well, you know, I've messed up before and I've repented and confessed, and God's forgiven me, and I can do that again. I can repent and confess, and God will forgive me. I can follow my passion and my desire right now, rather than practice the righteousness of God that's revealed in His Word. And I can confess and repent, and God will forgive me. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. There is not a loophole in the law of Christ. If you're trying to take advantage of the righteousness of God, you're going to realize that at the judgment of God, you've been wrong. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart. Oh, I repent. No. No, you didn't repent. Because you're still doing it. Repent means turn around. Repent means stop. Repent means I was doing this, I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm doing something else. I was following my passions and my desires. Now, my passion and desire is to do the will of God in accordance with the standard of righteousness that's revealed in His Word. I don't do that anymore. See, just saying you repent isn't repentance. In accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It's an all-seeing eye watching each and every one of us. And not only watching what we're doing, but examining the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Revelation 20 and verse 12, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Which one are you? And have you ever thought about that? In that day of judgment, which one of these are you going to be? Are you going to be one of the small ones or one of the great ones? It's kind of interesting as you look, you know, and you think about that, and I'm sure that what he's talking about here is that, you know, in as how we judge each other. Certainly, presidents and kings and CEOs and you know, those are great people in society. Yeah, they're going to be there. But I wonder how many of us, when we choose to, we have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, and we follow after what seems right and feels right to us. Don't we think we're pretty great when we start saying, this is what I think, this is what I feel? Well, whatever your definition of great and small is there, you can be sure that each and every one of us are going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. That's these books right here. This library of books that we have and we call the Bible. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the Book of Life. And we know from this passage and many other passages that the Book of Life is the book that contains the names of those who were like Zacharias and Elizabeth, who lived in righteousness before God. The dead were judged according to their works and by the things that were written in the books. That standard of righteousness that's written in the books. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Romans 9 and verse 27. And it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that say you get reincarnated. But that's not what the truth of God's Word says. I was told that Dr. Oz had a program this week. It was about what happens when you die. I don't have to watch Dr. Oz and listen to a bunch of people say, well, this is what I think happens when you die. Right here, you can know what happens when you die. Not think, not feel, not have a feeling about it. You can know what happens when you die. It is appointed to man to die once, and after this, the judgment. That's what Paul reasoned with the Roman governor of Judah about. You think that took some courage? I mean, here's somebody that has the authority to keep you in prison, put you to death if he wants to. He's saying, look, unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you turn from your sin to practice the righteousness that is revealed in the gospel of Christ, you're going to spend eternity in a place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of torment forever and ever 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 and ever. How you doing, Felix? Do you believe? Yeah, it's not a convenient time for me right now. You know, I don't know how Rome would look upon me becoming a Christian. Second Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 8. Some pretty comforting words here. You who are troubled, rest with us. Are you here this morning and you're like Felix and you're saying, you know, it's not a convenient time for me right now. There are some passions and pleasures and desires that I want to do, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that we are to walk in the righteousness of God. I believe all of that. It's just not a convenient time for me right now. I'm troubled. There's going to be people upset with me if I obey the gospel. Yeah? Well, there's somebody upset with you right now because you haven't obeyed the gospel. Let that sink in. You're on the wrong side of God. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. So I know God. I know God. I know Jesus Christ. And obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you turned from your passions and desires to live with Him, walk with Him, practice His righteousness in your life? If not, why not? Well, when's he coming? I don't know. You don't know. It's appointed to man once to die. When are you going to die? You don't know. I don't know. We don't want to know. But if you have allowed your sins to convict you, and you genuinely want to turn from that lifestyle of pursuing your passions and carnal desires, to be passionate about living to the glory of God by doing His will as revealed in His Word, then we'd encourage you this morning to confess your faith in Him as you turn from your carnal lifestyle to walk in the divine lifestyle that He's revealed for us in His Word. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you recognize you're out of favor with God, you haven't been practicing self-control as you know you should, you profess to live with Him, but you're not walking with Him, You need to make that right this morning. Let us pray with you and for you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.